This is interview number 2 with Beatriz Morales Clifton, recorded in her home in Selmar on January 30th, 1981, for the Rose de Riveter Revisited Project. Interviewer is Sherna Gluck. By going back, there were a couple of things that you're so good in terms of giving details. It goes so fast. And check and ask you about a couple of things before you started
work. Well, now I'll just answer what you asked.
Oh, no, I want you to tell me long stories about this.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want you to just answer what I asked, because I don't ask everything. But there were some things that I felt I didn't get enough about. First, when you had your second child, when you were still married to your first husband, and then you decided that you were leaving, how did you make contact with the social worker and the people who then helped you? How did that come about?
When I was in the hospital, when I had my baby. You know, social workers come up there. They used to, I don't know now. I went to the general. And so they came there, and I got in contact with them, and that's how, when I got out of the hospital, they had already they gave me an address for this little house and everything. You know, they had talked to this woman about the house and everything.
Mm. What was it you told them that they decided that they would help you and do all this for you?
I told them just what had happened, that my husband was no good, and that he never had money with me, and that I didn't have no means of anything. And so they said that they would help me. I told them
they
put
no pressure on you to stay with his family. And and so they got the house for you, and then were they going to give you money to help take care of the children too?
Yeah, they used to give me a little food of the county or something, and a check or something. Anyway, they took care of me.
Now, did you have to go anywhere to get the food or to get the payments?
Yeah.
And what was that like? Do you remember? Because this was almost during, really in the middle of the Depression.
Oh, yeah. It was like a warehouse. It was up there on Jefferson or someplace up in, way up there. And I used to go up there, and there was a little man, friend of mine, that had he was an older man. He had a car, and he used to take me. And they'd give me a slip, you know, so in order so that I could go get it.
And were you able to make ends meet okay with what they gave you?
Well, I just had my two babies and me, so it was enough.
So you were able to make out okay?
Yeah.
And how long were you on your own that way before you married Morales?
Yeah. Maybe a couple of years or so, I guess, because I didn't have no job. I didn't have anything. So probably a couple of years. I don't remember exactly how long.
Yeah.
But about then. And then I started seeing, Morales used to come down to take my mother, to bring my mother to the hospital. And sometimes I would come with them, and sometimes I wouldn't. And then I started thinking about it. Then he told me that he would like to marry me if I divorced. I said, yeah. So I did.
Now, during that period, because earlier it sounded like you really didn't have much in the way of you were very isolated.
Yeah.
But during the period after you got your little house and were there with the kids, did you start meeting more people or making friends with neighbors or anything, or were you still pretty much isolated?
I was like that all the time. I've been like that all my life, I guess. Like here, you can ask me who's around here, and I can't tell you because I don't know the people. I know my neighbors there, but just by good morning, that's it. I don't know them. You know, for me to be associating with a lot of people, I never did it. And then when I started working, I didn't have the time, so no.
Well, what happened then in terms of, for instance, as your children, by the time you married Morales, the children were in school, weren't they?
No.
Oh, they weren't?
No. By the time, when I married Morales, my children was, my little girl was about 2 years old. And my boy was about 3 or 4.
Oh, I see. And then right after you married is when you moved to Pasadena?
Yeah, we moved to Pasadena. And then he was working there in a theater in Pasadena. So we moved there, and there they start growing, and they went to school. They started school.
So you decided to move to Pasadena because of his work then. And at
Yes.
what point did your family come move to Pasadena and stay with you?
Later about well, before Pearl Harbor, they came to move, and they moved in with me when I had a bigger house. Because when I first moved in into Pasadena, I had a small house, and then I took another house that was next door that they left. So that was a bigger house. Then it was when I brought my mother and father with me.
Now, had your father retired, or was that it?
Yeah, he was sick. He was pretty sick. He had rheumatism and all. So I had him with me, and they would go off and on because I had another sister in Los Angeles. So sometimes they'd spend time over there with them, and then with me, like that, you see. So at that time, I had him with me.
Now, tell me, when you first married, and before you went to work, what was your relationship with Morales like?
When
How
I
did
first married Morales,
yeah.
well, he was very nice. We enjoyed. I, like I say, I wasn't madly in love, any of that, but I had respect for him, and I cared for him. And we used to enjoy ourselves.
What was the age difference between you?
He was, when I married him, I was about my late 20s, I guess. And then he was about 36, 37 years old. But he had
And
never been married.
when you married him, did you think you would want more children with him?
Yeah, I didn't think of anything like that. I just,
It was mainly to help take care of
yeah.
the two you had.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. And then later, I had the two, which I didn't mind, but that was it. I didn't have no more. I tried to hold on from having any more.
How did you do that?
Well, I took care of myself, you know.
Did how would you work out things with him in terms of, for instance, making decisions about money or about the children? How was all that done?
Well, he was the type of person that he never interfered in my taking care of the children. And he was a good provider. He'd come and the money we buy groceries and whatever was supposed to be used. But with the children, he never interfered. If he ever interfered, he would tell me alone. He would say, "You're being too hard with him," or this or that, you know. But we got along perfect. But he never beat up on my children or anything like that. I was the one that that ran the tightened the rein on the. Yeah, I tell my daughter now. I said, "Boy, I must have been a terrible mother." Well, she says, "No, you should have found us more." Because I used to be real strict. I was the type of person that I went to visit people, and I would take my four little ones, but they would sit down. And they started moving. I'd say, "Jerry," or "Mary," and they knew what I meant, so they sat right back and they stayed put. Because I would hear a lot of people, "Oh God, here comes that woman with all them kids." And you know, and my kids, I tried to avoid that they would do things like that. I used to tell them, "You go to the bathroom." Every time I went out, before I left, I said, "Go to the bathroom, drink water, do everything that you got to do now, because you're going to behave wherever we're going." If we go to the movie house, the same thing would be, you know. I'd take them into the restroom before we got in so that they wouldn't be above. And they were, not that I'm bragging or anything, but they were pretty good kids. Even up till now. I got, I'm very proud of my daughters. They're my two daughters that I got left. My boys passed away. But my daughters are very, very good daughters. They're always looking after me. Like my daughter, the one that is in Monterey, she says, "Mother, if there's ever a time when you're not able to do anything," he says, "you're not going to no nursing home or any place." He says, "I'm coming home to you and take care of you." She says, "You don't have to worry about going to any of those places."
What, did you have any conflicts with Julio about how strict you were? He felt you were too strict sometimes?
Sometimes, you know, I just, he would just say, don't be too strict, or this or that, or don't punish him so much, you know. We would sit him looking at the wall or something like that, you know, or I would spank him too.
What, did you train them to use the toilet and those sorts of things very, very early then? How young would they have been?
Well, as soon as they start pronouncing a few words, you know, right away, because mm-hmm. I said, if you can talk, you can say that too.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't want to be bothered with babies with diapers and all that. It's too long.
And did you nurse then?
Yes. I nursed two of them. The last two I didn't nurse. I didn't have any.
Mm.
I had to use bottles.
And how long did you nurse the first two?
About a year.
Mm-hmm. What about things like making decisions, money kinds of decisions? How would you and Julio?
Well, we got along pretty good. We got along pretty good. Money-wise, everything was handled pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Were there any kinds of big changes, like, well, deciding to move, for instance? How would you decide that kind of thing?
Well, when I decided to move from Fair Oak Street, it was during the war, you know, when they were taking, they took a lot of Japanese away, you know, and they left a lot of houses. Well, I had a lot of trouble because they wouldn't let me because I was a Mexican. And they tell it to my face, you
oh,
know.
Really?
And that used to make me feel kind of bitter at times and mad, you know. One time one of them told me, he says, why don't you say that you're Italian? You could pass by Italian. And that just made upset me to no end, you know, when she said that. But finally I got this house that was a pretty good size house, so I was able to get it. It had belonged to some Japanese people. And so I stayed there till I left it.
And was that before you started working that you moved into that house?
Mm-hmm. Before I started working at Lockheed.
Well, it sounds like in Pasadena there was a fair amount of anti-Mexican sentiment then. Did you have other kinds of experiences like that?
There must have been, because like I say, when I was looking for a house, I didn't have to look for no more houses, because after I found that one, I stayed there
until
my husband died and we moved. But because a friend of ours bought it after that, they had it for sale. And then he bought it.
Well, does that mean that in the neighborhood when you moved into that house, there were not other Mexican families?
Yes. Yes, they were. But there were the people that were there, I think they owned the property.
Oh, I see.
People that were there.
Now, how about before you moved to that place? Was it a mixed, were there a lot of Mexicans in the neighborhood?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. People that owned their houses,
uh-huh.
too, you know.
Uh-huh.
I didn't own mine, so.
Did you
there was a mixture. There was a mixture. There was blacks and there was whites and there was... And I guess for there in Pasadena Avenue, there must have been quite a few Japanese people living there.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, given that they were pretty open about the fact that they weren't going to rent here because they were Mexican, does that mean that the children had any problems in school?
No.
So they never had... you don't remember ever coming home?
My boy... I had a little problem in school when he started school because he didn't understand English. You see, we used to talk so much Spanish in the house that I didn't realize. And he had a little problem. But my girl didn't have that problem because after that, he learned language. And because they told me in school, the teachers, what was going on. So then I said, well, I'll try to correct it. Now it's too late. I said, but see what I can do. So then when my little girl went to school, she didn't have no problem because she already was rattling the English with her brother. And
so were these the two youngest ones?
The two oldest ones.
The two oldest ones.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask you is how much Spanish you used in the home.
Well, we used quite a bit, you see.
More than English, you would say?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids to each other?
And the kids to each other, but after they started school, they would talk only English, you know, they'd... Because, you know, how kids are, they usually, mostly all the kids
mm-hmm.
now, they once they go to school, they start talking English, and they come home, and they mix it up with English and Spanish. And
And then what did you do in the house after that in terms of language? Did you stop using Spanish in the house?
No, we used both,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But my husband didn't talk too much English. He did speak English, but he didn't, I spoke more. He knew it. But I spoke more than he did.
Mm-hmm.
When he talked to the kids, he always talked to them in Spanish. And me, I mixed it up with Spanish and English, you know.
And how about in terms of reading material? Would you read in Spanish or in English?
I read a little bit. I would read a little bit in Spanish because I never went to school to take Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
But what I have learned to read and write, I learned it by myself with a newspaper.
Mm-hmm. But what sort of things would you read?
I wouldn't read too much Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
I would read mostly in English.
Would you read
newspapers.
The Spanish newspaper like La Opinión?
No. I used to do that when I was young, when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I learned to pick up my words and put them together. Like I say, I don't know how to read good Spanish nor write it,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not ignorant. You know, I can get a letter and I know what it says and I can understand what
mm-hmm.
you're telling me.
See? Well, most of your friends, did you have any Anglo friends before you went to work, or were they all Mexican?
Yeah, they were all Mexican.
All Mexican.
Mm-hmm. Till I went to work, then I met one or two American ladies, you know,
mm-hmm.
from work, and but that was all,
mm-hmm.
you know, just at work.
Mm-hmm. What I'm curious when you talked about the problem you had finding a house.
Mm-hmm.
During the war years, there was all of the talk about the Pachucos, and then in 42,
yeah.
once you were already working, was the Zoot Suit Riots.
Did yeah.
you ever feel any reaction because of those sorts of things that were going on?
No. The only time that I felt, like I say, when I was looking for a house, that they would slam the door on me and say that there are no Mexicans, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I just took it.
Well, and how about your own feelings and your family's feelings about the Pachucos? Did you see them as a separate group of kids who were... What?
Well, we didn't like it. Us, of course, you know, I don't know about the other people, but our family didn't think much about it because we didn't think that they should be doing like now.
Mm-hmm.
Like now, I don't believe in Mexicans killing Mexicans. Like I say, all these young youths, they instead of acting the way they are, they should try to improve themselves so they can be something someday.
Mm-hmm. But you saw them mainly as being gang members then,
yeah.
in other words.
Yeah.
And how about the clothes? The your kids were too young, but in terms
yeah.
of the drape pants
yeah.
and the zoot suits, was there much talk in the community about that?
A lot of people said things, you know, but I didn't have very much to say.
Okay. Is there anything else during those years before you went to work that we should try and talk about?
Yeah.
About your life before you went to work?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think I told you everything.
Now, you said that when it seems that you decided to go to work almost as an accident, had
mm-hmm.
you ever thought about going to work?
Mm-mm.
Because by that time your family was living with you, so
yeah.
you did have someone to take care of
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No,
I never given it a thought till, like I said, my niece wanted to work, and that's how we got into the unemployment offices. And there at that time, in the unemployment offices, they all had an office of an aircraft. So they had the aircraft was there, so they tell us, go over there and put your applications.
Now, do you recall, last time you weren't sure that you remembered, and I thought maybe since then you might have remembered more, how you went about being interviewed and assigned to your first job? Was it at, did you go to the Santa Fe plant for your interview before you were hired, or was it actually done at that employment
no,
office?
No, they interviewed me there at the unemployment office.
Mm-hmm.
And they would give you everything there at the unemployment office there. You go to them, because they have these offices of the aircraft, like I say,
mm-hmm.
and I went to the office there of the aircraft, and they fixed everything for me. So when I went to 7th in Los Angeles, Plant 7,
mm-hmm.
I had everything in all my paperwork.
Now, how about your physical exam? Where was that then?
Over there.
At the
plant.
At the plant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that had to be done before you actually were hired on.
Mm-hmm. When you went to be hired, you know,
mm-hmm.
when you went into the plant, they take you to the hospital and they...
Mm. Now, here it was the very first, really the first work, the first job you'd had.
Yes.
You said you weren't used to being around
no.
working with men or anything.
Mm-mm.
How did you feel that first day going?
I was scared. I was scared because I had never been among strangers like that, you know. I had been with friends, you know, but not not like that. And but I said, well, this is it. You just gotta go through. That's what I did.
Because it seems to me here you've never, as you say, you've never been much very mm-hmm. used. Your husband objected.
Yeah.
So that was quite a big step to make.
Right.
What do you think kind of pushed you to do that?
What could have pushed me to do that? I don't know. Up to this day, I never will know what possessed me to say I'm going to go to work. Not that I'm sorry. I'm very glad I did, because otherwise now, I don't know what would have happened, because you see, later he died, and I would have left stranded mm-hmm. with nothing,
mm-hmm.
because we didn't have no money. We didn't have no money, and I didn't have anything. I did not even own a house, because he never wanted to buy a house. And so I would have been stranded, which now I'm glad that I took that step.
Mm-hmm. But at the time, did you think in those terms at the time?
No. No, I wasn't thinking like that at the time.
Did you know of any other women who were doing this?
No.
So it was just totally, I mean, it sounds like it was totally out of the blue, which is interesting.
Yeah, but it was totally out of the blue that I did. My family, everybody was surprised. His family, I said, well, yeah, I'm going to work. And how does Julio feel? He doesn't want to, but I'm going anyway. So then when he saw that, he just kept quiet. He didn't say no more.
Mm. Why did he object so strongly?
I don't know. Some men are like that. You know, some men don't believe that the wife should work. They want to be the supporter or something. I don't know. I think it's silly. I think that a woman should go out and work, you know, and bring in. It helps.
Mm-hmm.
It helps, and, you know.
Did all of your family and his family object, or was it always
no.
did any of them think it was a good idea?
His family didn't say much. My family didn't say nothing.
Mm.
My mother didn't say nothing, because my mother, I always told her, Mother, I said, you live your life and I live mine. I said, don't interfere with my life at all, and everything will be perfect. And we had that understanding, you know, that whether she liked something or not, she never interfered. She just let me go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I got in trouble or something, it was my doing. So,
well, in that regard, when you decided you were going to go to work, did you then discuss with her how she felt about taking care of the children? How did you set that all up with her?
Yeah, I told her. I said, I'm going to go to work, and maybe you can take care of the children.
Mm-hmm.
She said, yeah. She was there, so
she
started taking care of them. Later on, she left. But then later on, you know, in the 50s when I went back to work, the kids were bigger.
Mm.
My daughters were bigger, and they I didn't need any babysitters, because they could take care of the house.
Well, when you started to work then, how old were the four kids?
Well, Gennaro, let's see, Mary, Jerry must have been maybe 13 or 14, mm-hmm. I guess, and Mary was a little younger, and the other was a little younger, and Gennaro was a baby, was the smallest one.
How old was he?
This business of the dates,
yeah.
You know.
What, was he in school yet?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Probably six years mm-hmm. old, 7 years old, something like that.
Now, when you decided to go to work and were interviewed and everything, did you know anything about different shifts? Did they ask you what shift you wanted to work on? Or did you not know anything about that sort of thing?
Yeah, I did know. But they offered me days right mm-hmm. away, so I figured days was all right.
Mm-hmm.
I worked 6 months. I worked nights just to try it.
Mm-hmm.
I asked them to put me for 6 months just to try it out, you know, because I had never...
Mm-hmm.
So they did. Then at the end of 6 months, I came back and worked on days.
Wait, was that in the very beginning that
mm-hmm.
you worked?
Yeah.
The nights?
No. I worked a few months, and then I went for 6 months in the night.
Uh-huh. Now, what did they tell you about your pay, your starting pay was going to be? Do you remember?
65 cents an hour.
Mm-hmm. And they told you just that you were going to do structural work. So when you went in, that's all you knew. You were working days getting 65 cents an hour doing structural work.
Structural
work. Whatever that meant.
Whatever, yeah. And
now, and did they talk to you about the union at all at that point?
Yeah, they had a union, but it wasn't very strong then. It wasn't like it is now.
Mm-hmm.
And I joined everything that they told me, buck of the month and everything. Yeah, I signed for everything that they told me. Yeah, so I signed for everything.
So when you first signed up, you signed for the union?
For the union and buck of the month and everything.
Did you have any past experience or ideas about unions? What was your feeling about it?
Well, I didn't have much feelings. I didn't know much about it, the union, so I just said, everybody wants to be in the union, I'll be in the union too.
Because none of your family were really in any union, were they?
Julio was.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, yeah.
What union was he in?
Well, he was at the janitor's, you see, so I guess, I don't know what it was.
So you had some...
AFL or